Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 41. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate and professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is one of the best players in Ireland. He was a gold medalist at the 2022 European Ultimate Championships and a gold medalist in the 2023 European Beach Ultimate Club Championships. Introducing Sam Murphy. Sam, thanks for being here. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. That is a very kind introduction. So yeah, doing well.
Absolutely. I think you're very fitting. Just doing some research on you before this and really learning more about the European scene of Ultimate. Your name jumped up quite a bit, so it's a treat to have you here, and I'm excited just to dive into a lot of things. First off, I do want to give you another thank you. I thank you for this before we recorded, but I know coming from Ireland, the time change is quite the hassle, so I'm glad we got this in, and we're going to have a really exciting discussion here.
100%. I think I'm kind of used to it. Having played for a US team last summer, I had to make some team meetings and things like that, so I've gotten used to the figuring out schedules.
Absolutely. It's a fun world to get into. The more I dive into Frisbee and have these interviews, it's cool to see the world of Ultimate outside of the United States. Obviously, it's kind of the main focus to have a lot of UFA players, club players on. But like we talked about earlier before we hit record, was Connor McHale, his journey over in the UK. And now hearing your story, there's so much more to the world of Ultimate than just what takes place in the United States. And yeah, I think you're a testament to that. So jumping into this, I would love for you just to share what's going on. I know you're getting ready for the start of your club season in Ireland. So you just want to share what you're kind of ramping up for. What is this next step for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I played for a club team called Ranelagh. So that European Championship in 2022, that's the team. It's the main kind of men's team in Dublin in Ireland. We had our trials at the start of February. The season is getting longer every year. It used to be kind of May until September, and now it's March until October. So somehow more and more tournaments keep popping up. But I think that's a good thing. Ultimately, it's because our team is becoming more competitive and getting invited to more kind of elite level tournaments. So yeah, this weekend is a slightly kind of lower level tournament, just domestic in Ireland. But we've got a really exciting squad, lots of new faces to integrate. So looking forward to spending the weekend with the boys and getting out and playing some Frisbee again after a long and rainy winter here in Ireland.
Always. I like it. First kind of real tester your legs in the Ultimate season. And it is a long season, like we talked about. I can't believe playing Frisbee from February all the way till September when the championships are. It takes a toll on your body. But and also you said that's the team you won the European champs with. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, how'd you get involved with this club team? What's your story with your first interactions?
Yeah, of course. So I started playing, I would say I dipped my toes into Frisbee in secondary school or high school, as you guys would call it. I was lucky enough that one of my teachers was like the Irish men's team captain. And this is back when the sport was maybe 100, 200 players in Ireland. It's still not grown that much. I'd say it's between kind of 700 and 1,000 players total. So very small community. I went to a school where he happened to be a teacher and he had a Frisbee club. So kind of dipped my toes in when I was 16. Didn't really play much after that until I went to college. Got real into it in college in Dublin City University and had just a good core group of friends on that team. I suppose two of my best friends, Tadhg Devi and Ferdy Rogers, were in my class in Gonzaga, the secondary school where I started Frisbee. So we grew up together and all joined Ranelagh over the course of kind of a couple of years. So after my first year in college, I joined Ranelagh. So I was 18, 19. This is back in 2016. So I've been at Ranelagh for maybe 7 or 8 years now. I suppose all that time has been with that core group, Tadhg and Ferdy especially, and then a couple other guys kind of later on, the journey from being the worst players on the roster in 2016 and kind of looking back at some of the footage recently, I was truly awful at Frisbee. I still wouldn't say I'm great, but we've come a long way. So that's how I kind of got into it.
I love it. And you mentioned just how small, you know, the Ireland scene is. It has grown, but this team, it's been able to compete at high level, obviously culminating in that championship last year. Does that mean you guys do a lot of travel outside of Ireland to get you guys in these high level competition, high level tournaments? How does that work for you guys?
Yeah, I think the small community is a blessing and a curse. I think if you look at, especially from my experience, kind of playing with some of the teams in the US, it's a much bigger place just geographically. So it's kind of hard to get everyone together. Dublin has the benefit that, you know, you can cycle across Dublin in 30, 35 minutes. So the furthest people away, you know, don't live that far. We're able to practice twice a week and for a couple of hours after work. So we get like 40, 50 sessions together over the course of a season, which is rare in the States from what I've seen. So while we don't have necessarily the player pool, we have much more time to develop. At the same time, Ranelagh is relatively new to the European scene. When I joined, the club had never qualified for the European Championship. So I know you talked to Connor from Clapham, like they've won Euros 14, 15 times, and they've been every year since its inception. We didn't even go until 2019. So we went pretty quickly up in the rankings. You know, we in 2019, I think we were kind of ninth. And then after COVID in 2021, we got to fourth. So we made semis. And then the next year we won it. So we've only been three times, but we've risen to the top pretty quickly. And I think that is because, you know, we're a pretty tight-knit community that spends so much time together, both on and off the field. And that really, that trust and kind of chemistry is something that we tried to capitalize on, and it worked out in 2022.
It's interesting to hear the contrast of how everyone's so much closer together, right? Having so many players on the podcast for America, it's you could live states away from the team that you're actually playing for, and you know, you get to practice once, maybe every other week when you make the drive, or maybe you're just showing up for games. It sounds like this has been so important to your team, and hearing about the rise of you guys year after year, you're improving. And you know, you mentioned that same core group of guys that have been together since 2016. When you guys finally kind of broke through this barrier, I guess, in 2019, you start placing, you make the semis. Did you anticipate, hey, we can win this thing? Was this your mindset coming into 2022? What were some of the anticipations or expectations for that year?
I mean, I certainly didn't think so. 2021 felt like kind of a dream. The tournament was like really rainy. All the pitches were kind of mud baths. It's one of those tournaments where you're like, you're almost not even playing frisbee. It's just a kind of mental battle. So for us to get to semis felt like we just kind of out worked the team that we played in quarters, and a few things went our way. So I was like, that's incredible. Like, we're a good team, but a few things went our way and we made semis. Like, for me, that was beyond anything I dreamt of with Ranelagh. So that already was like, yeah, incredible. I think coming into the following season, the big change was that in 2021, we got a non-playing coach, Ian French, who is. He was on the Pod Practice Pod, and he's been on a lot of podcasts recently because he's the winningest coach in Irish and probably European ultimate. He won a national team title with the women's national team in 2019. They won Euros and then obviously took us. Having him was massive. It's not something that many teams have in Europe, a non-playing coach and one with so much experience. He certainly would say he knew we had the potential to win. But God, we were pretty terrible in 2022. We went 0-10 in streamed games. So anytime we were put on YouTube, we'd lose. We lost to Clapham. We were 9-3 up against Clapham in a kind of early season tournament and
That's
lost
brutal.
15-9. So they scored 12 on the trot. So like our record that year, all year leading up to Euros, was not good. And I think from an outside perspective, you're thinking, you know, Ranelagh has taken a step back, or last year was a fluke. But to be fair, I think we were in development mode. We went into tournaments with a very specific goal of building a player base and developing players, but also running specific systems. So in the first half of a game, we would say we're only playing 2-5, like Vertstack. And regardless of whether they figure out a defense that's perfect or whether it's working or not, we're going to run it for this game for the first half. So there were things like that where we were deliberately not going as hard as as we could to win every game. We just wanted to improve and peak at Euros. And I think that stood to us, whereas other teams potentially went in trying to win every tournament all year. We knew that Euros was the goal. So it was kind of that development. Even still, I vividly remember going over to the tournament with having had a terrible season results wise. And I thought we would maybe make pre-quarters. But it was a dream run. We beat Bologna, who are one of the top teams in Europe, on the first day. We beat Mooncatchers, who were the kind of dream run at Worlds a couple of months previous to this. We beat them in quarterfinals. And then the final was just incredible, beating Clapham. I'd say Ranelagh has played Clapham more than 30, 40 times. That's the only time we've ever beaten them. But
the only time that's really mattered, right?
Exactly. Yeah, 15-14. It was a dream.
Oh my goodness, that's insane. Something I found really interesting there was this developmental mindset you're talking about going into these tournaments, where I'm going to work on this specific thing as a team. Talk to me a little bit more, because how I hear that sometimes is you're racking up these losses and you're 0-10 in stream games. The world says you guys aren't it. You're not the team. Mentally, I see you're taking these losses, and that can be pretty tough. You're not really giving yourself any confidence boost here. But then you're also developing things. So it's this two sides to the coin. Talk to me a little bit more about that mindset of you guys.
Yeah, I think having a coach that had a plan and kept us all in the loop on what the plan was helped. We all bought in. We also knew that ultimately we weren't the most talented team in Europe. So trying the exact same approach that Clapham and Mooncatchers and all these other incredible teams were trying, it wasn't going to be a level playing field. We were going to come out on the wrong end of that. So I think Frenchy really did outline that, we are looking to peak at Euros. We do need to have more depth enable to do that. And we need to be able to adapt kind of on the fly and have a lot of different systems. At the same time, like I said, in first halves, we might be, we're Vertstack regardless of what's happening, or, this is our O-line for this game. We want to rotate in a couple guys, regardless of how the first half goes, this is what we're sticking to. On the other side of that, in the second half, we would go out to win games, or there will be specific games during the season that he's like, okay, we're going out to win this game. And those were games that we generally would win. So we knew that when we put all of our eggs in the winning basket, we could come out on top. And so having those kind of milestones where it showed that the process was working, and we wouldn't win every one of them, but we would see the progress that putting in the time to develop was having. I think that kind of kept everyone on board. I suppose as well, knowing his reputation and the fact that his process had worked with the women's team and in 2021 for us as well, it gave everyone hope that, if we did stick to the process, we could have amazing results in the long term.
I think it just shows how important trust is and how important having a coach is, right? Because it provided that direction outside of the view of a player on the field, which is so important. And then as a team, you're spending that time together. You can trust each other and you understand there's a reason why we're doing this. We're not just going in there to simply win this game. We're going to grow, and you obviously have the end goal in sight. So a fantastic 2022 run. You win European championships. 2023 comes around. A little bit of a regression. You guys don't repeat. Walk me through this past season in contrast to 2022.
Yeah, 2022 definitely was followed by a couple of months of parties and enjoying the moment as European champions. But honestly, for me, on a personal level, it showed me that the work I'd been doing kind of off the pitch, I'm definitely big into the, we have a great strength and conditioning coach, Fiona Myrna, who does all of our conditioning and strength programs. And I'd been pretty religious on them since kind of 2019, 2020. I think the fact that we were able to go and win in 2022 showed me that that was working, and that I was able to kind of match up with anyone in Europe. So if anything, for me, it reinvigorated me. And I suppose the goal was to show that it wasn't a fluke, that we weren't kind of one trick ponies. The difficult thing about living in Dublin is, you know, we have a huge level of emigration. So we had 22 guys on that squad. We lost 10 immediately. So the continuity of the squad is really tough. But we kept working hard. I think losing those players obviously meant that we had to blood. I think we had 18 rookies last year. So, and these are people that are not, you know, moving to San Francisco and playing for Revolver, having played 4 years of elite college. They're first or second year college players that are kind of playing their first maybe outdoor tournaments with Ranelagh. So they're coming in at the bottom, and there's a lot of exciting talent for the next few years, but it is going to take a bit of time. I also broke my collarbone in June. So at that European Beach Championship, just before the quarterfinals, someone landed on my back and my collarbone decided to snap. So that put a bit of a halt to my season, which was frustrating because I think you do want to go back and prove that, you know, your 2022 form was, you know, the player that you really are. It wasn't just an outstanding burst of form. And I felt really good coming into 2023 and was able to get back and play, obviously, a little bit at Euros and then play for a double wide as well. But yeah, I don't think I was at kind of full fitness. Never really gave my body the time to fully recover from that. And as a team, you know, we actually had a good season. Given the amount of turnover we had in our roster, I think we did really well. We lost our coach, Ian. He had to step away from the team for some health reasons. And we were very lucky to have another coach, Sarah Melvin, who stepped in. She's one of the best players that Ireland has ever produced herself, and could easily have played for any kind of European or US team if she wanted, but chose to coach us. So she helped. So we still made Euros. We went out in pre-quarters on a universe point loss, but there's a lot to build on. And especially this season, we've done a really good kind of recruitment drive. We've got some exciting talent in. So looking forward to what we can do this year.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of key pieces there you can take away from last year. Obviously, injury is brutal. I think any athlete out there can resonate with that. Once you're injured, all you want to possibly do is just go play your sport again. So I'm happy you're back. It's good to hear. But a lot of things you can reflect on from the prior, which I think is very important in sport. You have to reflect on the victories and losses of prior year because you can learn so much from it. So what I'm hearing is you've had rookies that have now had time to develop. And we know that trust and time together is so important, especially for this group of guys. It means everything for the culture of this team. And now you're going into your first tournament, first real games of this season. What are your expectations? What are your thoughts, hopes and dreams for this season, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm a big process guy in terms of I don't think too much about the outcomes. I think so much of that is out of your control. Obviously, I am like massively addicted to winning. So as soon as I get on the pitch, if you come up and ask me whether I want to win the game, I'm going to say yes every time. So, but off the pitch, I think it is like for me, trying to integrate the new guys that we have. We want to keep building the rookies from last year. We didn't win our national championship last year, which was, you know, a big shock for us. We probably got a little bit complacent. We actually sent two teams to our national championship. So we have a first and second team and probably got a bit complacent with the amount of people we even chose to go. So it's kind of a bit of a revenge tour domestically. And I think that starts this weekend. We really want to show up and kind of wipe the floor with the rest of the teams, to put it politely. So yeah, start strong this weekend, and then it's into kind of the European season. So I think if we can continue to build that kind of trust, keep developing players and really trust that development process like we did in 2022, we'll be in a good place. Who knows if that's winning Euros or not even making it to Euros. That depends on what everyone else is doing. But I know that we'll be doing the right thing. So I'm excited.
There is this quote that was written on an Altiworld article about you, and they actually ranked you in the top 15 players, male matching players in Europe in 2023. So congrats to that. But this is a kind of a quote, something I wrote about you saying, quote, need a guy to grind some unders and keep the disc moving in difficult circumstances. Need someone to torch the opponent's best deep defender for a goal. Need someone to lock up downfield. I think that's a sick line there, and that's describing you. That is such an awesome thing to have anyone think of you. It's just this grind mentality that you're going to put everything you have out onto the field, which is so critical for a team. How do you take that? What's your reaction to that? This is obviously like a mental thing that you're putting everything you have in the field. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's incredibly kind, and it's really nice to see that people kind of notice that. I would say that, you know, reading down that list, there's incredible players that have kind of specific specialties or are just incredible athletes. And I think that there aren't as many that are just, you know, I would consider myself a good athlete. I'm not a Superman by any means. And there's definitely some guys down there who could put me on a poster. But I think the thing that I would say about my game and that I would think also characterizes Ranelagh as a club is that we do work incredibly hard, both on and off the pitch. And so it's nice to see that that is recognized, because I think, you know, Frisbee is a pretty highlight heavy sport, and it can be easy for people kind of watching games to be like, oh, that guy has skied two people for goals in this game. He's the best player on the pitch. But it's nice that there are people that realize the person who's kind of grinding out unders for their team or just doing kind of lockdown defense, you know, that's valuable, especially over the course of a season. So it's cool to hear that written about yourself, even if it's a little bit, I'm probably a little bit too timid to say that stuff about myself.
Well, someone needs to say it, because it's obviously, you know, it's there on the field. I think it's one of my favorite parts about the sport is the little things, like just holding a super strong mark, playing really intense defense. And like you said, from an untrained eye, someone may not pick that up. But if you hold a great mark and force of, you know, kind of a bad throw and it's a turnover, you know, you may not get that turnover counted on you because your opponent downfield got the block. But it's because it started with you being so concentrated in where you are. What is that task in front of you? So that's what it's about, grinding it out, especially on the defensive side. I love that too. But a little bit of a change of pace here. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about your time in Ireland. You've also played in the United States. You mentioned double wide. You also played for the Soul back in the day, and you were supposed to play for the Spiders. So a lot of things to break down. But first, how did you first kind of become involved with the American Frisbee scene?
Yeah, of course. So that guy I told you about, Ferdia, he's my best friend that I've been playing Frisbee with all my Frisbee life, at least. He kind of got connected with a guy called Bjorn, Bjorn Shea, who's well known in the Frisbee scene over in Austin and kind of the West Coast in general. They connected in 2016. They were at Worlds in London. Ferdia playing for the Irish team and Bjorn over there supporting the US team. They had a very fun night that involved mini golf and I think like 14 or 15 beers probably. So they had a good time. And once myself and Ferdia were finishing up college, we knew we'd been playing a few years on Ranelagh. The US was kind of the pinnacle of the sport in our eyes at that time. And we wanted to go and spend a summer just playing as much Frisbee as possible and living in the US. So reached out to any and every connection we had. And Bjorn was probably the most excited about getting us over there to Austin. So we flew in. We arrived a little bit late, so we didn't get the full Soul season. But our tryout was kind of a double wide mini camp that was preparing for World Clubs. So a bit of a baptism of fire there. But it was a lot of fun. The guys were really welcoming and did enough to get on the Soul then. So we both played like four or five games towards the end of the season. Played in the playoff loss to Rally. I think it was the first time the Soul had made the playoffs. So yeah, got a lot of good reps with Soul, and then kind of playing with Double Wide unofficially as kind of practice players, but building those connections, which I then ended up kind of going back last year and being on the roster officially, playing pro champs, playing regionals, and then going over for nationals as well.
Incredible. And something I found interesting there was you talk about your show up halfway through, you know, you don't get the full normal tryout period and camps and all that. We go from to this situation from a situation you describe in Dublin here, where you guys are together all the time. You're hitting so many practices a week. You live very close together. You go to a city where you're not fully involved in the team or not as round as much. What was that contrast like? Did you feel it a little difficult to embrace that culture? Were you able to dive right into it? What was that like?
It was crazy. It's a really different vibe and also setup, especially in Texas. I feel being such a massive state, it was kind of like you said, like Double Wide certainly only had maybe 14, 15 guys in Austin. And then the rest were flying in either from kind of Dallas or even further afield. So there weren't those kind of weekly practices. We were lucky that, you know, we lived in Bjorn's kind of outhouse, so we would get workouts and stuff in with him and a couple other guys. But it was definitely more difficult to integrate. And I think, you know, having experienced a couple of different American teams and kind of gone over from Europe, I think that's one kind of word of warning that I would give to Europeans going. Like, it's an incredible experience, and it's a great way to kind of test yourself and see where you are versus, you know, the highest level in the world. But you do also have to, you know, be fair to yourself and realize that, you know, you're going into a system where you don't have any chemistry. I had no chemistry with the Double Y guys last year. You're kind of having to build it. My first game with them was kind of against Ring at Pro Champs. Like, I've never played in this system, and now I'm playing O with six new guys. So I do think you have to be kind to yourself and realize that it's going to take some time to feel good about yourself playing Frisbee, because it can be difficult when you're not in the same wavelength. But yeah, it was very different. Look, I think the Austin guys are the most welcoming bunch ever, and they did everything they could to make us feel welcome back in 2018 and last year. But it's a difficult transition. And I think kind of similar to what Connor was saying about, you know, you start to appreciate what you have with your home club. Like, I'm so excited to be part of Ranelagh, because having that twice a week training, having such chemistry, and also just knowing the guys like so intimately, I think is a real blessing.
Absolutely. Something else that Connor mentioned too, because he obviously played in the United States for a while, was he was able to take so much from his experience here on terms of just play style and just the grit that he found in these teams. Have you had similar experiences where you were able to take away this piece of the game or this place of style and bring it home into your own style of play in Dublin?
Yeah, I mean, Texas guys are certainly physical. So that's something that I think we brought back in 2018 and maybe wasn't welcomed too much in Ranelagh. Myself and Ferdia both like a bit of physicality in our game, but I think it's something that's built in Europe over the last few years as well. And so it's actually, I think, benefited Ranelagh that we're probably a little bit more prepared than most because we got there a little ahead of time. So physicality is one part. I think for me, the benefit of going to the US was that when you do like push yourself to kind of play against people that are probably better than you, it's a great kind of motivator to keep the work going. I think whenever you start to kind of reach the ceiling, of, you know, the place you're in, that's when you really need to start looking for kind of what is the next step. So yeah, for me, I think the biggest thing that I took away from Double Wide wasn't anything in terms of play style or, you know, incredible tactics. It was that these guys are incredible athletes and incredible throwers, just incredible frisbee players across the board. And that while I might feel like I'm doing a great job and that I've hit a certain level in Europe, if I want to be able to compete in the US, the work has got to continue. So it was more a kind of reignition of the get back in the fucking gym and start throwing a little bit more, doing some drills and keep the work going.
Another piece of your ultimate story here is I believe that you also coach, and at your alma mater, I believe, for the club team there, which I think is really special. Tell me about what that journey has been like. I think it's so good to give, especially in the coaching role. It's so fun. I coach not frisbee, but track for high school here in the United States. And it's so fun to give, especially to young people that are developing in a sport. You were in a situation where you're giving to your own alma mater, which is really special. Tell me how this story came about.
Yeah, so I did coach when I came back. So when I moved, I lived in San Francisco and then moved back during COVID. And as COVID started to kind of fade away in terms of at least restrictions being lifted, I knew that my previous coach, so when I was in DCU, Fiona Myrna, whose name has come up a few times, she was the coach at that time of DCU and she was planning to go back. So I kind of reached out to her and said, look, I don't have any massive coaching knowledge. And I'm not saying that I'm a tactical genius by any means, but I'll show up twice a week and you don't have to pay me and I'll at least bring some energy. So she was, very happy to have me along. So we would go out kind of Monday, Tuesday and coach beginners. We would coach, study abroad students. We would coach people who wanted to go play for Ranland, people who wanted to go for a pint the minute that training started. So we'd coach every ability. And I had a great time doing it. I think from like playing or coaching with Fiona kind of gave me a newfound kind of appreciation of how hard it is to coach, because like she is so calm and composed and has her eye on everything. And I really struggled with that. But I think it was really cool to get to coach alongside her. She's someone that I look up to massively. She, as I've said, does kind of the gym programming, but it was also and is also an incredible frisbee player in her own right. So just being around a great frisbee mind has been great. And as you said, I think maybe as I've gotten older, the enjoyment of just playing might have faded slightly, not much, but the enjoyment that I get from seeing young people and seeing other people kind of develop into great players and just enjoy the sport is something that I really enjoy. It was great to be able to see that in others. And it also kind of sparks my own joy again. To just remind yourself that it's not all super competitive all the time. It's just people kind of chasing around a bit of plastic.
I think it's really cool that you coach all different levels of players, whether it's intro, whether it's those players that are trying to make the, your own club team, that year, the following year, and make an impact and make that jump to the next level. So you've seen players at all different levels. From your coach's perspective, have you noticed just a couple areas that players just neglect in their training? What are some things that you think players need to do a little bit better at in their practices and preparing for things?
Yeah, I think a couple of my kind of good friends will talk about this is like easy hard work and hard work when you're talking about frisbee. So easy hard work, it will depend on the type of person, but for me, I would say the easy hard work is getting to the gym. I love going to the gym, watching frisbee. I'm a bit of a kind of frisbee nerd, so I love watching it and kind of breaking down, Jack Williams has a jab step like this, I'll go out and practice that. The hard work for me is doing the conditioning sprints or conditioning runs when it's raining on a muddy pitch and it's cold and all I want to do is be inside and not running or getting out throwing on a windy day. I think that in general, you have to be hitting all of the different areas of your game if you want to improve and be a rounded player. So if, you know, players that are trying to play at the highest level are listening, I would say that, you know, think honestly about what you love doing and think about what you don't love doing and make sure that you're doing all of it. Because you can squat as much as you want, but if you're not fit enough to keep running around, it's not going to work out. And you can be the best athlete on the field, but if you can't throw a 10-yard flick consistently, you know, no club team is going to have too much of a use for you. So you do have to do the hard work as well.
Absolutely. Now, at this point in your career, you know, you've won gold, you've won beach, you've won the Euro Championship. You were the finals MVP of that 2022 run, which is pretty special. Another award there. You've played in America. You played all over Europe. What else do you want to accomplish? What else do you want in this sport as well?
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of the individual kind of merits have been done. I think I've always valued the team aspect more anyway. I think is it a Steph Curry quote or something? It's like nothing left to prove, but lots left to accomplish. So yeah, I definitely don't feel like I need to prove myself as a player. But what would be really special for me is being able to facilitate the next generation of Ranelagh players to have that incredible feeling of winning with their best friends. There are guys that are now kind of early mid-20s that would have been, you know, the rookies when we won the European Championship that are starting to step up into leadership roles, and they're some of my best friends. So if I could get one more chance to, you know, be on the field or be on the sideline when they won a European Championship and just know that, like, every time I watch that, it brings a tear to my eye watching us win. Like, it was the best moment of my life. If I could get to be a small part of having those guys do that, I think that'd be enough for me. And I could probably, yeah, move to full-time coaching and hang up the cleats at that point.
I think when you've been in a place like yours, when you win and you know how much effort has gone into that, you know better than anyone else. No one else watching that film will understand the weight and the emotion that goes behind that. You've experienced that. I think it's so pure and so good that you just will that for someone else. You know that struggle from 2016 when you guys were quote unquote nothing, right? And you built that up. That is one of the most special things. And I think it's so unique to sports in general. And then you add the really unique, special culture that surrounds Frisbee too, and especially something you have, like, that is tremendous. So I really do wish nothing but success that you can bring that to the next generation of players for your team there. That's amazing. And now I just want to ask kind of for a piece of advice. We talked a little bit about joy and your own joy in this sport. If you could give a piece of advice to someone of how to continue to find joy in the sport of ultimate, what would you share?
Yeah, that's an incredible question, and a difficult one. I think for me, like, I probably did experience kind of burnout and wasn't enjoying Frisbee, was finding myself getting kind of angry at teammates for making mistakes. I think the best piece of advice that I got was, you know, in those kind of lulls or periods where I wasn't enjoying it, it was to focus on helping others. Like, helping people just makes you feel good inherently, I think. And so it was showing up to practice, and rather than overthinking my game and how I was playing or even how the team was playing, it was just, you know, watch one or two guys, tell them that you're going to watch and that you're going to give some feedback. And, you know, every time they're on the pitch, encourage them. And see if you can, you know, bring them water, that kind of thing. So focus on the experience of others. And I think you just naturally start to feel yourself start to enjoy the experience more. So yeah, I think don't get too self-centered, too absorbed in your own game. Just, yeah, try and elevate the experience of those around you.
It's in giving that we receive. I like it. Thank you for sharing that. And Sam, this kind of brings us to the end of this interview. I just want to open it up, though. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose one thing I would like to share, and I suppose firstly, thank you for giving me the platform. I think it's a really cool podcast that you do. And
thank you.
It's been a really enjoyable conversation. I hope we can stay in touch moving forward. But I suppose, you know, if I was to say one thing, it's that we are seeing a massive increase in the number of European players going to play in the US. I think the US is rightfully seen as kind of the pinnacle. But I wouldn't, I know your audience is mostly US based, I wouldn't ride off going the other way. So I think that there's massive value in being part of a team like Ranelagh or any other team in Europe that, you know, has that proximity, has a bit of a, you know, tighter knit group. So don't just think about the experience of, you know, European Ultimate's not as good as US Frisbee. Why would I ever do that? I know that some of the guys that I played with last year are considering kind of taking a year out to come live in Dublin and play with us. But if you are a US player that is like, you know, I feel like I'm kind of burnt out of the US scene. I've been playing for X team for 5 or 6 years and, you know, it's pretty similar each year. Definitely reach out to European teams and come and see what you can learn either from them as people or as a Frisbee player. So, yeah, I think that don't write off the European experience if you're a US player.
I really appreciate it. I haven't heard that from the other's perspective yet, but kind of how we started this interview was the European scene's growing and you're a testament to this. Connor McHale's a testament to that. And that would be really interesting to see it go the other side. And I think that, you know, the sport would grow even exponentially more. So I appreciate that shout. That is a really awesome last closing piece. So I appreciate that. And Sam, just thank you so much for everything you shared. Learning about your story has been really exciting, really tremendous to know the ins and outs, and especially about finding joy in the sport. So just thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for the conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And as always, make sure you check out the Breakside Instagram at Breakside_podcast. And this brings us to the end of episode 41. This is David Adamitis with Sam Murphy. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.